Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Joyful Empowerment with Joanne Gajewski. Joanne, how are you? I think we've lost Joanne. Christina, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Christina. We lost Joanne, so she should be calling back in.
Uh-oh.
It happens. We live in the age of communication, and there are lots of glitches. There she is.
Yeah, they have a mind of their own, technology.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to the information age. Greetings and welcome, Joanne.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
My pleasure, and I'm greatly looking forward to your show. It sounds exciting.
Thank you. I'm excited, too. I have a great guest tonight. We're going to discuss misconceptions, myths, self-diagnosis, defining things such as shadow work and narcissism, PTSD, labels, integration, and ways to heal and live a joyfully empowered life. So we got a lot of good content. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my good friend, Dr. Christina Wilkie Burbach. She is a, I'm going to read you a little bit of her bio.
It is a Bible. She's a nerd. Just say that. She's a nerd.
No, you are so many wonderful things. She is a PhD. She is an educator, a counselor, a consultant, a spiritual counselor, a holistic healing facilitator with 25 years of higher education and experience in psychology, spirituality, magic, metaphysics. Her business is Mind, Soul, and Self, LLC. She's the host of the podcast. You might know her as the Garden Goth. She has her PhD in health psychology, master's degree in clinical psychology, much like myself, and a bachelor's degree in psychology and cultural anthropology, sociology, and is trained in transpersonal psychology. And she studied with Stan Groff, MD, PhD, who is the founder of that field. She is a certified level 2 aromatherapist, herbalist, master gardener, natural perfumer, botanical artist, Reiki master, teacher, ordained minister, a practicing witch, a high priestess in training, Awakening Your Light and Body graduate. She's an intuitive, a published author. She's so many things, and I'm so excited to talk with you tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is really exciting. Congratulations on the start of your podcast.
I know. I'm hoping that, you know, we start to get a message out to people that, the misconceptions about mental illness and, not to fear it, that it's just a lifestyle change and how we can get joyful empowerment through just living our lives and aligning our lives. It's not a death sentence, you know, and
absolutely.
I think once people see that more of us feel a lot the same way that they do, I think they'll understand it a little bit better, and maybe that will empower them. You know, that's what I'm hoping.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So I know we want to talk about misconceptions, and I know I have my thoughts on that, but what have you seen about misconceptions out there today about mental health? My big one is the narcissist, the definition of a narcissist, and, different things such as that are being self-diagnosed through things like TikTok and social media.
Yeah. So, like, my big pet peeve, yes, is people diagnosing themselves or, like, looking things up on Google and, reading things on Google or, WebMD used to be back in the day and diagnosing themselves or thinking that they have some sort of illness without going and seeing a professional. So I think there's a lot of self-diagnosis out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely problematic. I work with a lot of teens and adolescents and young adults, and, now they have the DSM-5 online, which is a great tool, but, they look it up and they read a symptomology, and that book pretty well like I do. There's a whole lot more to that. You have to do cross-cutting assessments and, you know, so many things run parallel with other disorders. There's a whole lack of knowledge out there, and I think people take that for granted, which is why I like to say you need to have that aspect in your life. You need to have a good counselor or psychologist or psychiatrist. You need to have your body aligned, what you put in your body, exercise, and, you know, spirituality. You have to align all three. I'm kind of on the holistic level as far as how I like to work with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely consider myself a holistic practitioner, and then we can't just – to me, the whole person is, like, indistinguishable, like the entire person, the whole person, mm-hmm. like the mind, body, the spirit, their social life, their spiritual life, I mean, their financial life, their sexual life. Like, mm-hmm. to me, we have to look at the whole person, the whole body.
And that's true. You know, that is so true, because I know you know, for example, if you get diagnosed with anxiety, a lot of people also, when they get diagnosed, they only look at the one aspect of it. You know, oh, now I'm going to be, you know, it's like a, I don't want people to see it as a harbinger of doom, so to speak, but a way to empower mm-hmm. yourself to get over it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you have that psychology aspect, but what changes can you make in your daily life? And I know for me, a lot of it was my spiritual practice. I mean, I think we all go to our spiritual practice, whatever that may be, on our hands and knees going, God, help me. Do you know what I mean? How has that helped a person? How has that empowered you? It could be something you do every day. I know sometimes when I'm aggravated, I like to cook. What are the different things in life that bring you joy and empower your living? Like I said, it has to be kind of an alignment, whether you look at it as chakras or however way you want to look at it, you know, and what are your thoughts on that? Like,
yeah, I actually have a couple different thoughts on that, both personally and professionally. So
awesome.
I have seen like counselors on and off my like younger life. Some court ordered, you know, because I got in trouble with drugs and alcohol in my early 20s, and some I pursued voluntarily, and I will be celebrating 18 years of sobriety as of May 1st, so cleaning from alcohol and drugs, so almost 18 years. Thank you. So when I got clean and sober, I chose to go to a therapist, and I saw her for 2 years she was a psychologist. And first of all, it was really, like, humbling for me to go and seek out a therapist because that, you know, I did have a master's degree in psychology at that time and was working, believe it or not, as a counselor. So
well, we're human, too,
Humbled myself very much and went to a psychologist. And, you know, I felt like a lot of the stuff we talked about, yes, cognitive therapy is amazing, but on my own, I explored and learned more about like yoga and meditations and herbs and eating healthy and exercise. And I almost became kind of upset and angry that my therapist never educated me about these things or encouraged me to pursue other like modalities besides just talk therapy. Like, I personally, and then I had, like, some unexplainable things happen to me while I was going to school to get my PhD. Like, my original track for my PhD was in clinical psychology, but then I had a couple unexplainable things that contributed to, like, a spiritual awakening in which I was forced to look at the world differently, and I switched my track in school from clinical psychology to holistic psychology, spiritual psychology. And, you know, I have come to learn, so I'm a practicing transpersonal or spiritual psychologist. I usually use the word spiritual because most people don't really know what transpersonal means. And I think that many times, like, talk therapy is a Band-Aid. It doesn't really get to the root of the problem. It can definitely help you, like, learn to think about things differently and talk to yourself in a more healthy way. But I really think the route to healing is nonverbal. So like art, music, dance, movement, meditation, trance, higher states of consciousness, and then like energy work and body work. So I think that's really how we heal.
Yes, and it's true because even now, I mean, you know, like you said, back in the younger days, because I had my experiences similar to yours, and it was not talked about. There wasn't like, you know, now
you know, because, you know, I'm still in grad school finishing up for my license for clinical practice, and I specialize in PTSD and trauma and crisis intervention. But what I've noticed about how they teach now, at least in the school that I attend, they do that holistic approach, which wasn't around then. So there, you know, it is coming into the field slowly, but there's also too, which I'm thrilled to announce, you know, how people with head injuries, traumatic brain injuries and things like that, yeah, they might be depressed, but these are going to be ongoing lifetime things. Like the neurologist and the psychologist never connected, you know what I mean, back in the day.
Yeah.
And now there, you know, there's a whole field of neuropsychology, and they're finding that trauma not only hides itself in your psyche through behavior, but it also comes out in your body. Those mysterious pains, you go to the doctor and there's nothing wrong with you, but you're in constant pain, your stomach, things like that. It's they're finding a lot of it, especially with people that have combat PTSD and PTSD, that that is where their trauma is hiding in their body physically,
mm-hmm.
pain. And
absolutely.
You know, so,
and
yeah,
that's why things like
it is very little known, you know, and most people are stuck with that traditional outlook to therapy and healing, you know, which I'm hoping this show will help people see it differently, you know.
Like I said, I just want to make sure people understand, like, talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy is not bad. I just think we need so much more than that. Like, if we really want to
exactly.
dive deep down into our psyche and heal our shadow and heal our trauma and integrate all the pieces of ourselves, we need to do deep healing, which involves the nonverbal healing. So,
yeah. And that's my next thing. You know, shadow work, to me, that's what helped me heal my trauma. You know, even in the magical and mystical or occult world, we think of shadow work. Everybody thinks about this dark, ominous thing, or they think something evil, or that's our evil side. Well, no, it's not. To me, my shadow is all those things, all those hurts, all those, it's a part of who I am, and coming to terms with it and finding a balance, you know what I mean? That's what my shadow work has consisted of, and doing that shadow work has helped me heal a lot of trauma. And defining myself as a person, because my problem is I always feel like I'm never enough, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always like, all right, so what do I got to do next? What can I do next? I got to be better. What can I do to be better? And I've lived with that my whole life. And, you know, the last few years I've realized that this was expectations put on me by others, and I'm not living up to their expectations ever. And, you know, in my late 30s, early 40s, I'm like, hey, I'm going to start, you know, living for me and doing what I want to do. I'm tired of, you know, what everybody expects me to do or what I should do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I find that that's very empowering. But you do go through a lot of, I hate to say it, shit to get through to the other side. You can't get, in order to get over it, you got to go through it.
Well, that is very much why the lotus symbolizes the spiritual journey, because the lotus grows in mucky, muddy, disgusting water,
mm-hmm.
and it's this beautiful flower that blooms and floats on top of the disgusting water. So it's so symbolic
mm-hmm.
of the spiritual journey. Like, I
yeah.
think, like, no one has a spiritual awakening. No one evolves their soul. No one does any personal growth work or chooses to pursue becoming a better person unless you've had some sort of pain or some sort of catalyst, or, you know, that
exactly.
same spiritual, like, religion is for people who fear hell. Spirituality is for people who've been there. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, we all go through our own little personal muck and hell in order to emerge, you know, transcended or enlightened or a better person or a better version of ourselves, whatever you want
Absolutely.
To call it.
Absolutely. It's definitely true. I agree with you 100%. And it took me a long time to, you know, I think when you think of mental health and you think of spirituality and, you know, like mind, body, spirit, you tend to think of mental health as a separate aspect, even almost like some people think of it as a curse. And yeah, it's not a fun ride, and there's a lot of aspects to it, but it's not, I don't look at it as a death sentence. I think we all can use, you know, different aspects to empower ourselves. You know, I know I suffer from a lot of things, and like you said, you have gone through things. And whether it be grief, whether it be PTSD, whether it be a disorder of some type, it's not that separate. You can't keep your mind separate from your body. And I think we need to incorporate more of the whole process, like you said.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you're in mental health, don't just think, oh, I got to go to counseling and I'm going to be, you know, like we thought. Okay, you never told me about spirituality. You never told me yoga or meditation or Tai Chi or to try this, you know. Carl Jung was a big perpetrator of that. I mean, he would get to the level of the patient, and his thing was, I'm going to get to your level, and we're going to look at those archetypes. We're going to look at those things, you know. Like I know me, when you devote to certain goddesses like Demeter, she really hit me when my daughter was diagnosed with ASD. And, you know, she has Asperger's and she's in college now. But at that time, that was devastating for me. And I started working with a coven in New York, and I started exploring the goddess. And it really empowered me. You know, I related to how she felt about Persephone and wanting to move the world and take her out of that dark place with Hades, you know. To me, that's, you know, we all, like you said, we all have our things that bring us to our knees, you know.
Absolutely. I think we need those things, because if always, why would we get better? Like, why would we want to get better? It's like, we are cool with the status quo. We learn to be okay with wash, rinse, repeat, until something shakes our world so dramatically and we're in so much pain that we're forced to make a decision. You're at like a crossroads at that time.
Yeah.
Do I want to keep doing what I'm doing and suffering and not living my authentic life and living as a shell of a person? Or do I want to pursue some sort of healing route, even though painful and difficult it may be? Because all healing is painful. Always, everyone would do it. Or do I want to become a better version of myself? So you're forced to make a decision, but something, you don't just wake up one day and want to be a better person. You wake up one day in so much pain and decide you need to change because you can't live like that anymore.
It's like, I can't take it anymore. And that's how I was, you know, back through my addiction days and things like that. I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, you're literally, it's like, you know, and it stops when you want it to stop, is how I look at it. And you reach that point, and like I said, I started with the AA, I started with the psychology, and AA gave me a little bit of a look because they didn't do the whole religious thing. It was, you know, your own power, spiritual power, and I had always been in, you know, practicing witchcraft since I was, you know, 14, 15 years old. So, you know, heavily I started studying, you know. So that opened up the door a little bit and started me to look at different perspectives on things. You know, I've looked at different religions. I've studied different religions. I've looked, and the message is all the same. Be a good freaking person. So,
pretty much.
And we choose how our path goes. Even in the Bible, which, you know, it says you choose your path. It's a choice. He gave us free, you know, God gives free will. So, you know, even our gods and goddesses, they give us the choice to either take that path to empowerment or not. You know, to me, I always say it's okay to fall down and be effed up, but it's all in your recovery, how you get up and go. You know, are you going to lay there and just be like, okay, this is it? Or are you going to get up, dust off, and tell life she hits like a bitch, which is what I like to do. You know, I'm like, okay, you know, I seriously, because I just came through, and you know for a fact, when my dad died, 2021 was my shadow, big time. I isolated. I dealt with that. Grief is raw. I will tell you that. Grief is raw. We all have a misconception about grief. Here's a biggie. Mm-hmm. It's raw. It's horrible. It's consuming. There's no time limit. There's no time limit. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And it's a unique individual experience for every person. There is no right or wrong way. Everybody's going to experience it differently. And boy, did I hit hard, because right after that happened, I started getting hit with, I had started working a Wheel of the Year with a friend, And all of a sudden, you know, here comes the shadow, boom, full force. And I started seeing people that should have been there that weren't, and people like yourself and other friends that didn't have to be there but chose to be. I started learning a lot about people, a lot about who I was associating myself with, what I was doing with my life. And that was an eye-opener for me. And it sucked. You know, I lost a lot of people that I thought were really close friends, and really they weren't. And that's what's sad.
I would I'm so sorry for the loss of your father. I would really like to take this opportunity to define shadow and shadow work, if that's okay with you, because I think
that's why you're here, Madiva.
So this is my specialty. So as a spiritual or transpersonal psychologist, I specialize in personal growth, intuitive readings, and shadow work for the modern mystic. All my clientele are, you know, witches and shamans and people who are on a deep spiritual path, that who I would consider like the modern mystic, people open to like higher states of consciousness, past lives, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So,
recently
on Facebook, I had a woman that I am friends with on Facebook say, like, oh, shadow work is evil. Light workers shouldn't do shadow work. It's a very bad thing. It's dark. And I was like, wait a second here. Okay. So, here we have, like, words that just get passed around, and people don't even really know what the word means in the first place. And we just have, like, misinformation spread. So there is nothing evil or bad about shadow work. In fact, to me, shadow work is the most deepest form of healing that you can do, and you need to be very brave in order to even do it. So
it was a whole year for me, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, so I like to define shadow work. So shadow work literally comes from Jungian, Carl Jung, Jungian psychology.
Mm-hmm.
If you know anything about Jung, he's very big on the archetypes. So the archetypes are like different character traits and character constructs, and the shadow is an archetype that represents what'd you say?
I'm an INFJ, by the way. I'm a very big, that's my theorist is Jung. I love him.
Yeah, so I'm a Jungian trained psychologist, and then, you know, took it deeper by studying transpersonal psychology, which is like Jungian psychology on steroids. Takes a lot of his concepts and just goes, you know, deeper with them. The shadow is called the shadow because it's the parts of ourselves we're not aware of. Like, when I'm standing outside, I don't see my shadows behind me. We don't see our shadow. It's literally called the shadow because it is our unconsciousness. We're not aware of it.
Yeah.
So, and it's an archetype that represents the parts of ourself we're not aware of, the parts of ourself that are like more animalistic, that can be full of both constructive and destructive energies. In our shadow, many times, like a lot of these traits we have helped us navigate the world that we live in and helped us survive difficult upbringings. For me, going to school, grade school was one of the most grade school and middle school was one of the most traumatic things I've ever done. So a lot of our personality traits and characteristics we develop in order to navigate and survive our world. So our shadow traits are survival mechanisms. So we become a certain way in order to survive. But then when we grow up or get into healthier relationships or different situations, these shadow traits are no longer adaptive. So we need to learn to become aware of them, integrate them, and like channel that energy in a more constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
So like we never want to like necessarily get rid of our shadow because it is a source of great wisdom and creativity. So yeah, we can't eliminate it. It stays with us. We just want to try to learn the lessons and how we can integrate it. But like in our shadow, we may have like difficult emotions, hidden traumas, like our wild desires, complexes, you know, shame, guilt, regret, a lot of the things that you were just talking about, unconscious fear. But I also think we have what I call the golden shadow, a lot of really beautiful things. Well, they're all really beautiful, and I tend not to see things as like good or bad. But in our shadow, we also have like our creativity, our visionary thought processes, our psychic abilities, our magic, our authentic self is all in our shadow. So it's just parts of ourselves we're unaware of.
And, you know, I had felt blocked that whole year Like I thought, I'm like, what's wrong with my third eye? What's up with this? Why can't I manifest? Why can't I do anything? You know, and 22 was coming out of that and learning those lessons. And like I said, I learned that I allowed a lot of people to just steamroll me where, you know, I wanted so much to get that acceptance or to be enough that I did things above and beyond for people. But yet when it came time for Joanne to stand up, these people would steamroll right over me and, you know, or push me down. And like I said, I learned a lot about who I was associating with and what I was allowing into my life. And yeah, that's painful, you know. And it's like, do I really want that energy around me or do I really want that behavior around me? Do I want to be dragged down, you know, the crab in the bucket fable? You know, when you're with negative people, it's going to drag you down. And I had a lot of people that I thought were my friends that if I look back and as I had distance from them, I realized, wow, they really weren't my friend. You know, because when you step back and look and you're like, wait a minute, you know, that person wasn't happy for this or they were laughing at my, you know, at my misfortunes and things, thinking it's funny and things like that. Like it's... You just learn things about yourself, about other people, about the world around you. And I think it's a very powerful tool. And I think we've become a society where we always have to be positive and we stuff a lot of shit, you know, and we can't do that anymore. You're going to be angry. You're going to be sad. You're going to feel like crap some days. But you know what? That's okay. It doesn't mean you got to stay in that place, but you're allowed to feel it. And I think we've become a society where we think it's wrong to feel these things, and that needs to change, you know. You need to acknowledge those things. You don't have to live in there. You know, we all have angry thoughts, you know. Lord knows, I have an 18-year-old daughter in college. That alone can send angry thoughts through my head. But, you know, you deal with it. You know, it's okay. It's, you know, like I'd even talk to my mentor, you know, how you said, you know, you're a psychology major and here you are going to a psychologist. And I, you know, my daughter went through a really bad thing with a boyfriend, an abusive boyfriend. She was assaulted. And I had to deal with that emotionally. And the first thing that went through my mind was not a positive thought. I will tell you that right now. So I went to my mentor with that. And he was like, you know what, Joanne? He's like, a psychologist is your career. He's like, is that all you are in life as a psychologist? I said, no. He's like, what else are you? I said, well, I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a server. I'm, you know, all these different things. And he's like, that's right. We're all these different things. And if you didn't feel that way, I would think you were abnormal. You know, that's a normal feeling for a mom to have, you know, because I'm like, I'm a therapist. I should know better. And, you know, that's not the case. Just because we know what's wrong doesn't mean we're not going to, you don't experience it. Just because you know about something doesn't mean, okay, I know it's a bad thought. It doesn't mean you don't acknowledge it and release it and do something positive with it. That's what I try to look at. Do something good with that energy. I learned that when my daughter got diagnosed and we were in that meeting and I was in a meeting with all these big wigs from the school department and mental health workers, and I was just sitting there because you're overwhelmed when you hear that. And I didn't know what to, I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, my kid, you know. And I went outside to take a break, and it was actually the superintendent of schools came up to me and was like, Joanne, he's like, I know you're going, you know, this is rough for you. I was like, yeah, you know. And he's like, but I want to tell you something. He's like, what's happening is you're mourning your expectations for your daughter. And he's like, and that's okay. And that's, as a parent, how you should feel. He's like, but what are you going to do with that feeling is what counts. Are you going to empower your daughter to be successful or are you going to wallow and be in denial and go kicking and screaming? And for some reason, that set off a light switch in me. And and it changed my perspective on a lot of things. And I think that's really when I started doing a lot of healing was through my daughter, you know. I started working with autistic people and neurodiverse populations. My original undergrad was education and special ed. That's where my undergrad is. And that's when I realized I want to do more for kids and for people. You know, there's such a deep need for that. And that's when I switched to the clinical psychology with PTSD, trauma, and crisis intervention is my specialty, which I'm in my last year, thank God.
Well, so you graduate this year?
Yeah, well, 2024, but yeah, I'm in my last round of classes, and I start my clinicals and my hours for my license.
Wonderful.
Sometimes I think I'm crazy.
Well, there is a word I never use, and I think another word, you know, to me, words have power, and words are very powerful. So I
absolutely do not like
the word crazy.
I don't have the best relationship with used to say that. She's like, Joanne, crazy people don't know they're crazy. You're not crazy, and don't talk about that like that about yourself or anybody, you know. I was like,
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's actually, I have like certain golden rules for working with me, and I have even written on a blog on my website, and that's one word I don't allow people to use with me. They can't use the word crazy, they can't use the word hot mess, because I don't believe in any of that. I think, you know, like I said, words have a lot of power. Labels can be self-fulfilling, and it's really hard to become empowered, especially you're talking about becoming joyfully empowered, when we use words that make us small and make us little and take away our power. So crazy is a word that takes away our power, especially when you, like, when people are using the word crazy many times, at least with me, they're using the word crazy to define, oh, I'm having, like, a psychic experience, or I'm talking to my spirit guides, and that's crazy. So I'm very big with trying to normalize psychic abilities. I think we've always had them. There's nothing crazy about them. And trying to empower people to use those terms again.
Mm-hmm. We become jaded. I think we become jaded, you know, is when I know that I had gifts that I didn't understand when I was younger. And luckily, I, you know, later on in my teenage years, I met people. I was lucky enough to meet people that explained what was happening to me, you know, because other people would just think I was weird or evil or whatever, you know. And I learned, you know, again, like I said, we all learn things about ourselves. And I think the positive self-talk thing has gotten misconceived as well, you know. It's not, I don't talk to myself all day going, oh, happy, happy, joy, joy, life. So, you know what I mean? I'm a pretty real person, but I do watch myself talk. And I it's been a lot, it's something I constantly work on, because I've always felt never enough. And to change that, my psychologist years ago explained it as tapes that rerun in our head that were created by other people, and we had to erase those tapes that keep on playing in our head. And it took me a long time to rearrange that tape and realize that I am actually probably more than enough. So,
you know, a lot of times that tape you're talking about that you created, which I would call, you know, your shadow, because you're unaware of the fact that you're talking to yourself that way.
Exactly.
We form our shadow because we want to, especially growing up, we want to be loved, we want to be accepted, we want to fit in, and we want to have our needs met. So we act a certain way, you know, to get those needs met and to be accepted. And many times that means shoving our magic down and shoving all the really cool things about us down because we just want to fit in.
Yeah.
So
maybe if I do this, my mom will say she's proud of me. Maybe if
exactly.
I do this, you know, and that's what it was for me, because I'm never enough for my mother. Even now, when I got my degree, she was like, well, you've proved your point, you know, and it's like, you know, no, congrats. I'm like, wow, okay, thanks. Enough now. You know, I'm like, enough now. Okay, I'm getting my master's degree. See, here we go. And I'm like, you know, you know, nowadays I know what's happening, so I don't feed into it as much. But it's still, I look back at how much of my life I wasted just living in mental shit, you know.
Well, I encourage people not to look back and woulda, coulda, shoulda, wish I woulda not wasted so much time doing something, because it really literally made you who you are today. Probably why you're such a supporter of, you know, living an empowered life and healing. And if you didn't go through the things that you went through, why would you want to go to school to be a counselor? So I really encourage people not to regret things that they've done and time that they spend doing things that probably could have been better spent somewhere else. But you're literally sitting here, an accumulation of all the experiences that you've had in your life, good and bad and neutral, that's made you who you are and why you're pursuing the healing journey that you're on. So, you know, so that's what I mean about like shadow work, like integrating things. We want to take all these parts of ourselves that we may not be very happy with or find unlovable and learn and accept why we did the things we did in order to survive. And like shadow work really is, you know, developing so much insight into your life and your experiences and to other people in your life and realizing, like you said, when you start to do shadow work, you realize maybe some people in your life aren't as great as you thought they were and are poisonous for you. You learn, you become empowered and, you know, and to live an authentic life. And when you become empowered, you define boundaries in your life and decide who gets to have VIP access to you and who doesn't. You understand why you did the things you did. You have compassion for yourself for doing the things you did and then develop like, unconditional love and self-awareness, which I think are really amazing and beautiful things. So like the more shadow work you do, the more insight you develop and awareness you develop into who you are and what makes you tick.
You know, my thing is I've learned I don't let anybody that dulls my shine close access to my life, you know. If you dull my shine, if you're if I want to get a tattoo to, let's say, remember my dad and financially I can't afford it and, you know, a person comes up to me and is like, oh, I'm getting a tattoo today, ha, 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 you know, like mocking me almost and taking my pain and mocking me, that I don't allow in my life anymore. Sorry, see ya. It just doesn't happen.
Well, to me, part of those boundaries of doing shadow work is also deciding who you even share personal information with that, like, anymore either. Like, seriously, not everyone gets VIP access to me.
No.
Not even family members. You know, just because
of
your blood.
No, my daughter's going through this in college, and I'm trying to explain it to her. And, you know, it's harder when you're young because, you know, social is the thing. And social media, I mean, you know, I'm so glad we didn't have to deal with cancel culture and all these things these kids are trying to figure out. It's like they're trying to figure themselves out right now. Now we got to add all this other stuff in. It's just, it's a tough world out there. And I think we need more joyfulness. And we need to see that, you know, not everything is mental illness either. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're just having a shit day, you know. I had I work with adolescents. My mom gives me PTSD, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I want, you know, you start going down your checklist of, you know, how to find out what's going on. Is it abuse? Is it neglect? Blah, blah, blah. And it's, no, you know, she's just constantly nagging me to clean my room. And, you know, it's like, well, that might be giving you anxiety, but that's not PTSD. You know, we see so much of it in so many kids today. I don't know. It's like they're looking on, you know, like they're always asking me. So I was looking up and I'm like, I'm like, listen, I said, you can't just look up. I said, because one diagnose, you know, so many diagnoses have so many similarities. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I don't know. Do you get where I'm going? It's like you can't just self-diagnose yourself with something.
Well, it's adults too, because I primarily only work with adults and they do the same thing. And my two thoughts on that are it is people unwilling to take or don't know how to take personal responsibility for what they're feeling or for what's going on in their life. And then they rather it's easier to blame something or someone else for how you're feeling a certain way.
And so now I ask you, what has brought you joyful empowerment through your life? Like you have so many aspects to you that you just amaze me. You're one of the people that inspire me. I look to you as a role model, a mentor, because you have so much experience in the field. Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, you're my mentor and I ask you a lot of things and we talk about all kinds of topics and, you know, because who does the psychologist go to when they need to talk? You know, that's the big thing. I hear everybody's stuff, but, you know, what about mine? So, you know, you've been that mentor for me, and it helps. So what gets you empowered?
Well, I think you, first of all, really hit the nail on the head, like finding other people that are like-minded, that see you and let you be your authentic self, whatever that looks like. So, and yeah, no matter, and I think that might be a big thing too with people in the healing arts and witches and so forth, is it's hard for them to ask for help because we help other people for a living.
Yeah.
So who heals the healer? So
yeah,
I'm lucky that I have.
Stigma,
certain,
definitely.
Yeah, it definitely is. But like, we all need healing and we all need, you know, confidants and people that we can trust and rely on. So what empowers me? Through my journey, all my significant others were always artists or musicians, and my best friends are artists, and I always was, like, the nerdy, logical, you know, scientific person, the intellectual. And then through COVID, no, maybe even a little bit before COVID, I had a big loss in my life, and cool. One of the ways that I started, like, processing my grief and my very powerful emotions, and I tend, instead of calling things trauma, I tend to lean on the side of, you know, saying that things bring very powerful emotions. So,
yes.
With art. So art is something that really fulfills me, helps me gives meaning to my life, helps me explore
yeah.
very powerful thoughts and feelings that I'm having. Music is very, very important to me to help me become empowered.
Yeah, that's my
Very. Music has always been a huge part of my life, for good or for bad.
Yeah, me too. I can go without TV because I pretty much only watch British TV, but I cannot be without, like, I have Spotify, I have SiriusXM, I have whatever. What's the other one? SiriusXM, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. I mean, you name it, I have it. Pandora.
Yeah,
I don't subscribe to Pandora or iHeart, but I do subscribe to the other two.
Yeah. Yeah, music, definitely. So art, music, and my plants. Gardening and being in nature and the relationship I've developed with plants over the years definitely empowers me. Absolutely. I love plants so much. Like, I can't even put into words how much I love plants. Like,
I love
talk to my
too.
Plants and they talk to me. And...
What were you talking about earlier? I said, I love plants too, but I kill them. I'm like the Grim Reaper of plants. It's like, wow. You know,
well, girl, what I tell
gardening.
People is it's very important for people to realize that plants have personalities just like us. So plants have certain needs and desires and wants, too. So once we learn a plant's personality, we can give it what it needs and help it, you know, thrive instead of just survive. I used to have two black thumbs. I thought I did a really good job, but it was really my husband going behind me and, like, watering the plants and caretaking for them. And I thought it was me. I now I feel like I have obviously two green thumbs, but a lot of it is just learning that plants have needs and wants too, and helping make sure they get their needs fulfilled.
Yep. For me, it was hiking, my animals, schoolwork, because, you know, I went through a point where I had no car because road trips are my thing as well. And then I had surgery, so I couldn't, I can't hike like I used to. I won't be doing any 4,000 footers. But, then, you know, my animals are what got me through. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I lost two of those things. And then I know when I was finishing up my bachelor's degree, I started getting panic attacks. I've never had panic attacks. And I found out that that's another way that I cope is through keeping my mind busy. And, you know, and having these type of things to help you, and I call them empower you, is important. Whether it be pets, it can be cooking. For you, it's plants. I think one of my other guests does plants as well. It's important. And I think people need to hear these things because we always think of them as just, oh, well, I'm a gardener. Well, no, you're not. You know, that's part of your healing process. You're connecting with the earth. You're grounding, you're learning about your plants, you know.
Mm-hmm. Animals, too, are very important to me. I have two dogs. I have a cat. I've always, you know, loved animals. Besides having my own animals, I volunteered and donated time with volunteering. I went on, you know, has definitely helped me become empowered. A couple years ago, maybe more than a couple years ago, I went on this, like, volunteering journey because I asked myself, why the hell do people volunteer? You're, like, working for free. Like, working to make money is hard enough. But, like, why do people work for free? And I got all these volunteer jobs. And that was definitely very enlightening to me. Like, I had at one time probably like 7 different volunteer jobs. Like, I was spending more time volunteering than doing my actual work. But to me, I understand. I wouldn't be who I am today without these connections that I made volunteering. To me, it was people.
Absolutely.
Making connections with other people that had common interests, making other people, and then doing something with them in the future, like some other project or object. In fact, my love of art really has come from volunteering. Like, I, as a master gardener, volunteered at an art center to care for their plants there. As the headmaster, I am still the headmaster gardener at an art center. And because of that, I ended up on like a volunteer board, and I met other people on the volunteer board that were like, why don't you learn how to be a docent to give art tours? And I was like, I don't know anything about art, but I learned how to give art tours, and that,
so
empowered me and helped me look at art in a different way. And I learned that you don't need to be a formally trained artist in order to be an artist. So volunteering has enriched my life so deeply. Well, if you would have asked me even 10 years ago, I would have said volunteering is for old retired people.
I learned a lot about, you know, trauma and in kids and adults through volunteering for the schools, doing practicums. I volunteered in the community up until December of this year. Helping at-risk youth, counseling them, job skills, whatever it may be, that they needed in the community center here. I've done all kinds of things, and you do, you learn, and you hear things, and you're like, wow, you know, and that's, the, like you said, that's what makes you who you are, you know, like working with kids like my daughter through her struggles, like I said, kids that have neurodivergence. I've learned so much about just appreciating life and what we are. I've always taught my daughter, you can do it, you know, because sometimes labels, you know, come with stereotypical limitations. And I always instilled in her that she could do whatever she wanted, even when the odds were against her. Like, they told her, oh, you probably won't go to college. You'll probably be working a, you know, mundane job or whatever. And, you know, here she is in her first year of college. Is it easy? No, she has her struggles, but darn it, she's there. You know, and I've always been a perpetrator of whatever you want to do in your life, you can do it. And anything that's good in your life, whether it's a relationship, a friendship, a career, academics, requires work. You get out of it what you put into it. And it's the same with shadow, spirituality, your mental health, your physical self, whatever you invest in yourself, because let's face it, every action has a consequence, right? And whether that action is good or bad depends on your consequence, you know, if it's going to be good or bad. If you eat right, you take care of your mindset, you're going to be more positive in your daily life. If you lay there in your room in the dark, you know, for more than a week, then, you know, you're going to have a negative mindset. You're going to feel horrible and other things are going to set in. And believe me, I've been that person in the bedroom, you know, asleep, wanting to just sleep my life away for a while. You know, I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
So, but you can't live in it. And that's my point. You know, sometimes empowerment is just getting up and washing your face. You know?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I want to say that I do think it's all emotions are sacred and valuable, and it is okay not to be okay. There are literally some days when we just don't have the energy or the spoons to get out of bed. And if all we can do is wake up and breathe and that's our success for the day, then that accolades to that. So there literally are some days we need to lay in bed. That's okay. But I believe we can transcend labels. I believe we can heal from our deepest wounds. I believe we can literally do anything we put our mind to. Absolutely. I mean, if you had asked me 20 years ago if I would be where I am today, I would have laughed. I probably, like, everyone thought I was going to kill myself because I was suicidal and had suicidal ideation and was just such, like, I hate to use the word a mess, but I had a lot of problems. And if I can heal from my deepest wounds, anyone can.
And that's the thing, you know, we all have our things that we've gone through. And, you know, I'm not minimalizing mental health at all. I think, you know, everybody should, could go to counseling and learn about these things and yourself and have someone confidential to let it out on. But again, I want people to see it more as a lifestyle of keeping a healthy mind, body, and spirit. And sometimes some areas need more work than others. You know, we talk about physical things too on this show. Make sure to go get checked out at a doctor. Make sure you're eating right for yourself. Substance abuse is another biggie. We could do a whole show on just that. I mean, there's a lot of things, and we're just touching the surface. And hopefully as we go on, we delve deeper into individual topics. Hopefully people in the comments will leave things that they'd like to hear about or, hear from us about. At the end, I'd like to get info on how people can reach out to you if they're interested or in your area or want to take online classes, whatever it may be. I'll see if I can put it in the comments under the broadcast as well. If I can post it in there, I'll put it in there. Your bio and everything. So I think that'll be great. But like I said, I look at you, so many people are like, oh, you have the garden goth that's going to be on, and I think that's great. Again, that's something that empowers you and brings a little bit of light into your life. Life isn't going to be all happy go lucky all the time. It ebbs and flows. So, but the things that we have to help us get through, like I said, what else helps you get through? How does Christina?
Learning. I love learning, and I'm going to learn till the day I die, take classes, gather the degrees, the certifications. It's not even necessarily about the papers on the wall. I just love learning. Yeah. And I think right there, that's the number one problem in the world, why people are closed-minded and why things are stigmatized and taboo and feared, is because people don't have enough knowledge. Learn. Travel the world.
Yeah.
Read books. Watch different TV shows and documentaries. Expose yourself to different cultures. Go to restaurants and eat food you're not used to. That right there, I think if more people learned about different sexualities, different cultures, different races, different genders, different socioeconomic groups, I don't think we'd have the problems in the world we had today if people just expanded their mind
not.
And learned.
And
knowledge
that's why
literally
I left
is
the
power.
Of education. That's why I'm not a teacher, because teaching is not what it used to be. I know I wanted to be a teacher because, special ed kids that needed that advocate and a teacher that could understand them. But I had a seventh grade teacher that, when we studied the Revolutionary War, he came in. He was a Revolutionary War reenactor, and he came in all dressed up, and he looked fabulous, you know what I mean? Yeah, and we watched the movie 1776, and then we drew names for a hat, and we were each one person from the – I was Thomas Jefferson, and we reenacted the Declaration, the creation of the Declaration of Independence. And I remember that lesson to this day, and so do most of my friends that were in that class. That was a class you did not forget for a whole week. You were living in the year 1776 in that classroom, and it was freaking awesome. Yeah, and nowadays it's all Common Core, and we've eliminated a lot of these things. And, I believe science, math, and technology are important, but I think we're leaving out a lot of things. And not everybody is the same, and not everybody learns the same, and we need to take the common out of the word education. That's my thing.
Well, not all of that is necessarily the school's responsibility to teach you either. We need to have some self-initiative, like I said, personal responsibility, and pursue learning more about other cultures and all that on our own. And in fact, I think a lot of the younger generation is more open-minded. So I'm talking to us older people. I hate to use the term Gen X and all that, but we need to expand our minds. We need to learn more things. Some people
I've always had the gypsy soul, so that's never been a thing for me, I guess. I've always loved to learn about cultures, and my way to work with culture is food. I always ask people, what's a food in your culture that's, popular? Like, what is the thing? Like Italians, it's what, lasagna, pasta, whatever. Everybody has their own food dish, what is your favorite music? Like things like that. I love learning, I love the Indian culture so much because of that. I have so many friends that I learned from, and it's just amazing, and I find that, and that's how I've taught my daughter, So a lot of it is, like you said, it's outside of the classroom as well, but they don't really touch on it much anymore in the classroom, which is sad. We never do geography anymore. Like that's not a class anymore,
Yeah, but a lot of it is up to us. Look, stand your mind. And if, you know, you have a library, library is the only place in the world where you can go in there and you're not expected to spend any money. So, like, go to your library. Now we have the internet at our fingertips. Look stuff up. Look at documentaries. Watch TV. There's so many awesome, amazing PBS, you know, TV shows from all over the world. You don't even have to leave your house to get educated. But like I said, we wouldn't have all the problems we had if people just learned some more and expanded their mind about all different things.
Well, I love the PBS documentary channel. That's one of my favorites. I actually subscribe to it. That's why I watch a lot of British television. I'm not really a reality show like person. I don't think I've seen one episode of a Kardashian or whatever and things like that. I'm just, you know, I'm just Joanne, but I don't know. I've always just wanted to learn and travel. And if I could, if I had the money, I'd be traveling all the time, you know.
And on that note, we have to start wrapping up. We only have 4 minutes left for today. So this will have to be a part two or a continuing conversation. I'm enjoying it very much, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, Christina, why don't you tell us how people can get a hold of you?
So my main website is mindsoulandself.com. That's my business. I have a Linktree, Christina Wilkie Burbach. That's where you can find all my links, you know, my Instagram, Garden Goth on Spotify is the name of my podcast, so Garden Goth. But yeah, Linktree, so linktr.ee/ Christina with a C-H. Wilkie, Wilke.Burbach, Burbach, and then I'll take you to my link tree with all my different links for my website and my monthly magical and spiritual psychic awakening group that I do, my podcast, my gardening classes on Instagram, all that sort of stuff. I have a whole bunch of links. So.
I know. Your biography was huge. I loved it. I'm like, someday this will be me. And right now I am just Joanne Gajewski. You can reach me at joanne.gajewski@gmail.com or on Facebook Messenger. And as always, if you are in crisis, please reach out. I don't care what the hour or the need. Please reach out. There are people like Christina and myself who are here for you and are a safe space. And thank you to all who listened to my first show tonight and hopefully moving forward. And thank you again, Hercules. And Christina, we definitely need to do a part two. Maybe you should be on in June again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm very proud of you, too, for all everything where you're going in life. This is amazing. And remember,
you are
an accumulation of all the experiences you've been through, good or bad. They make you who you are, and that's what makes you so amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And like I said, I learn a lot from people like you and the guests that are going to be on the show. I think we have a good lineup. Next month, it will be Star Ann Ravenhawk on the 27th. She is the diva master of a lot of things as well, and we're going to talk with her. I have Aldo Ludovico, Jim Sayers. I have Rhonda Allin coming on. Yeshi Matthews said she would do a show, and I'm looking to get other guests as well. Raina Starr, she does the Desperate House Witches podcast. She has agreed to come on. So I've got a good lineup upcoming.
That sounds amazing.
And, yep, I think we're down to, like, what, 2 minutes?
That's a minute and a half.
What else, Christina? A minute and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Close it out for me, girlfriend.
Well, I want to thank you both. It was an amazing conversation that you had. It brought me back to my days of being a therapist and being enamored of transpersonal psychology and neo-Jungianism. So thank you very much. For the stroll down memory lane, and I missed those days, so it was a good stroll down memory lane. You're awesome, Joanne and Christina.
Oh, well, thank you.
Awesome. I don't know you yet beyond this conversation, but I'm sure you're going to be on again. I'll get to know you better. So to both of you, success with all your adventures and your ventures, and to our wonderful listeners as well, thank you for tuning in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.